radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Now, against all better judgment, broadcasting live from the David Price IMAX Center Studios, high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower, it's Redneck Nation Radio.
This is PK Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator. Welcome to Smashville.
Time for the Renegades of Puck to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need. Join Predneck Nation Radio, 615-844-5600.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Predneck Nation is on the air. That's right. It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. It's Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saulnier. Welcome in, all you Renegades of Puck. It's time to jump in the trench. Mastrodamus in the second period. The Ultimate Predator is going to get you all fired up before the end of the first period. And Felder, well, he's back on IR. Injuries even hitting Predneck Nation hard this season. Nashville Predators will welcome in the Vancouver Canucks. Second time in a week these two teams have played. The second of three regular season games. They won't play again until April the 4th, again here in Nashville. It was just a week ago on the 6th. It was Vancouver 5, Nashville 3 in Vancouver. Thankfully, the Preds' only visit of the year to Vancouver. Irwin, Sissons, and Hartman had the goals for the Preds. Rene played the first two periods and came out after the second. Saros played the third. It was obvious the Canucks wanted that game way more than the Nashville Predators, even though they had been in a stretch where they were 2-13 over the course of a month of hockey. Since then, the Canucks have gone on a Preds bounce. It was that 5-3 win against the Preds. Then after that, they followed it up with a 6-1 win at St. Louis, and then on the 11th, their most recent game was a 3-2 win at Columbus. Markstrom's played in all three of those games, and he was 34 of 36 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They play again Saturday versus Philadelphia, so looking to close out a three-game road trip with a perfect record. Quite the bounce after beating the Nashville Predators just a week ago. The Canucks started the season 9-6-1, and then went 2-13 over the course of a month, and now 3-0 in their last three. Vancouver Canucks ranked 21st in the league on the power play, 27th on the penalty kill. Goals for 19, 2.94. And with some of the impressive young talent they have, that number is probably going to go up as the season moves along. Goals against 24th, they're giving up 3.3 per game. That is a difficult number. For the Nashville Predators, tonight, of course, hosting the Vancouver Canucks, the second of three games on this homestand. Saturday, New Jersey in town. We'll close out the homestand before the Preds head out on the road Monday night in Ottawa, Tuesday in Chicago. So there's your back-to-backs. And then on the 20th at Philadelphia and the 22nd at Boston. The Nashville Predators NHL ranks 26th on the power play, which is up five spots from where they bottomed out at last in the NHL. The penalty kill holding strong at 11th in the league. Goals for 13, 3.16. And we knew that number was going to drop just a little bit with all of the high-end talent out of the lineup for the Nashville Predators. Goals against Preds back in sole possession of first in the NHL in that category, 2.48 per game. We do have some injury news for the Nashville Predators, and some of it's actually quite positive. We saw Austin Watson, though he didn't practice on Monday, got back into the game Tuesday against the Ottawa Senators. Now getting word from General Manager David Poile that Kyle Turris is ready this week to come off of IR and perhaps return to the lineup. We know he's been skating for a couple of days with a no-contact jersey, and this is great news because the Nashville Predators very much need to get some of these healthy bodies back into the lineup. So Turris could be available. I think that this week would mean as soon as tonight or Saturday. Definitely Kyle Turris is going to be ready for that game Monday in Ottawa. That's one I've been looking at on the schedule and thinking he would be back in the lineup for that. Also getting some updates on PK Subban, still on injured reserve with an upper body injury. According to David Poile, he is going to be ready next week. That means for the Predators road trip as they head on up to the Northeast. Still no word on Forsberg or Arvidsson, but based on the time frames we were provided by David Poile when the injuries first occurred, Forsberg's minimum return time was 4 weeks. That would put him right at the 1st of January, so getting close to that possible return date. Victor Arvidsson, minimum return was 6 weeks, set up for the same date also on January the 1st. So for the Nashville Predators, starting to get some healthy bodies back in the lineup, an opportunity to pick up some more points. The Preds still in first place, 31 games played now, 20-10-1. That's good for 41 points. They're 1 point clear of the Winnipeg Jets and 2 points clear of the Colorado Avalanche. At home, the Nashville Predators are 12-5. The Vancouver Canucks coming into Bridgestone Arena, they're 8-9-2 on the road. That's not that bad of a record on the road for a team that is under 500. 33 games played, 14-16-3. They have won 3 games in a row, as we've discussed, getting a bounce from defeating the Nashville Predators on home ice just last week. Of course, high-end young talent for the Vancouver Canucks. Pedersen, 27 games played, 16 goals, 16 assists, 32 points on the season, and he was very strong in the game against the Nashville Predators. Bo Horvat scored against the Preds. He's got 33 games played on season, 14-14, 4-28. Got to be careful right there. Brock Boeser, of course, 20 games played. He's got 9 goals, underperforming just a little bit compared to what he did last season, but at any point in time, he is very dangerous. Vertanen picked up a goal against the Preds. He's got 10 on the season, 15 points overall. You've got to be careful with some of this young talent when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks. Expect to see Markstrom in net. He started the last three. Now 23 games played in the season, 11-9-3, a 3.14 goals against average, and a .901 save percentage. So for the Nashville Predators, again, an opportunity going up against team. Now, Vancouver might be a little bit hotter in the last week, but this is still a team near the bottom of the standings. After all, they are, what, 7th in the Pacific Division at this point in time. So for the Nashville Predators, an opportunity to pick up points, even though Vancouver's coming out of their long slump. They are still ready for picking. Ryan Johansson still leads the team in scoring. 31 games played, 5 goals, 21 assists. That's good for 26 points. Roman Josi now second on the team in scoring. 5 goals and 17 assists for 22 points. Philip Forsberg's 22 points are sorely missed. Those 14 goals, more importantly, are missed more than anything. Craig Smith now with 9 goals on the season. And also Arvidsson missing his 8 goals. Hartman has 8 goals. Nashville Predators looking forward to getting some healthy bodies back in the lineup soon. Expect to see Pekka-Rinne in net again tonight. 21 games played on the season, 13-5-1, a 1.91 goals against average, .932 save percentage, and he is still maintaining being one of the top goaltenders in the NHL. After the Preds' 2-game road losing streak, it was the beginning of a 3-game homestand and welcoming in the Ottawa Senators for the first of 2 regular season meetings, and the next one will be next Monday. So a very quick turnaround in that season series will be over with. But the Preds, a disappointing 2-game road trip. They come on home for the first of a 3-game homestand and look to change their luck just a little bit, and the lines look like this: Hartman, Johansson, Fiala. And then you had Tolvanen, Yarncroke, and Smith, Sissons, Bonino, and Watson, Salamaki, Goudreau, and Rocco Grimaldi. Your D pairs, Josi and Ellis, Hamhuis, and Ekholm, Boteto, and Weber. And, of course, Pekka-Rinne got the start in this one. And we're 26 seconds into the game at Bridgestone Arena versus the Ottawa Senators. You want to come out. You want to get that crowd all fired up. You want to make up for that bad. Oops, the puck's already in the net. Zach Smith scored 26 seconds in. His 5th of the season. Ottawa's got a 1-0 lead on a softie from the circle. It gets through Rinne. He owned it after the game. Everyone saw it. Everyone knows it. Preds are down 26 seconds in, 1-0. 4:29 in. Preds with a bad defensive turnover leads to a post being hit by the Ottawa Senators. 5:25. Hartman's going to the box. 2 minutes for tripping. Ellis, a great stand up at the blue line, denies zone entry. Active stick. Ellis is outstanding at that play. Excellent penalty kill overall for the Preds. They give up 0 shots on goal and limit the Ottawa Senators' zone own time. At the 11-minute mark of the first period, the fourth line has a really good shift. Rocco Grimaldi deserves some credit right here. He was working especially hard on this shift. 12-15, Johansson set up for Fiala in the slot, gets through Anderson, but it goes just outside the post. This was mere inches away from tying the game. At 15-38, though, Austin Watson would tie the game up with his sixth goal of the season. Matthias Ekholm shot from out high, redirected by Austin Watson in the slot. Sissons started this entire play with some great jam down there in the corner, just working and working for about a solid 12 to 15 seconds before moving the puck to Ekholm, and then Watson with the redirect and tying this game up at one apiece. At 17-28, Rene has to make a huge save on Piarvi's jam attempt, and we go to the end of the first period. Shots on goal, 8 apiece, tied at one apiece. 1:40 into the second, Bonino's shot goes over the top. He had a great look and just missed this opportunity right here. 2:18, Ekholm shot off of Anderson, and then it hits the crossbar. 4:53, Fiala drives the net hard and is stopped by Anderson, and we get a strong shift by the first line at this point, which is great because we were looking for Ryan Johansson to bounce back after losing some of his ice time in the previous game. At 6:05, Boteto's shot creates a big rebound. Senators, though, do a good job right there tying up sticks, taking the body, and not allowing the Preds to get to that rebound opportunity. 9:01 into the second. Ellis, his third goal of the season, gives the Preds a 2-1 lead. Ellis, pass to Josi, cuts down the slot, immediately gets the return pass. It's a give and go between the D, and Ryan Ellis is letting it fly to the back of the net. Preds up 2-1. Outstanding read right there by both of those players. 10:22, Pekka Rinne has to make a save on a shot from high, plus a rebound opportunity is denied by good defense. Hamhuis and Ekholm doing a good job tying up sticks and bodies in front of the net. Ottawa was looking to respond right after that goal by the Preds. 15:05, Salamaki gets a shot with Grimaldi screening Anderson, and it gives all kinds of trouble to the goaltender, but he's able to cover it up. At 16:15, Fiala's going to the box 4 minutes for high sticking, and this was just absolutely careless use of the stick by Kevin Fiala. There was no play to be made. There was nothing going on. The two players were not engaged. This was just simply a stick just flying through the air wildly and catching one of the Ottawa Senators and giving him a little bit of color on the face right there. So that's why you get 4 minutes. Tkachuk can't finish from the top of the crease. He had an open net right there and a good look at it, but could not finish this one. The Preds get a good bounce right there in their favor. Pekka Rinne makes a huge save on Tkachuk from close range as we head to the end of the second period. A little bit of carryover. Shots on goal at the end of the second, 23 for Nashville. Ottawa is at 16. The Preds clearly finding their legs as this game is moving along. The carryover only 15 seconds and only one shot on goal over a 4 minute power play for the Ottawa Senators. Nashville Predators doing an excellent job on the penalty kill. Ryan Ellis, definitely the leader on that unit out there. 1:45 into the third. There's a tip in front by DeZingle, and it is saved by Rinne, and this was a difficult save for Pekka Rinne. 1:59, Craig Smith, his ninth of the season, gives the Preds a 3-1 lead off the rush, drives the net hard, goes backhand. Hey, you get a good bounce sometimes, and this time you got one of those. It goes off the D, and it beats Anderson and in. Craig Smith gets to celebrate all the same, and the Preds have a two-goal lead in the third period on home ice against the Ottawa Senators. 2:06, Tierney's going to the box, 2 minutes for tripping. Decent movement by the Preds on this power play, but not a whole lot happening. 5:29, Tkachuk's going to the box, 2 minutes for tripping, and he was starting to get under the skin of several Predators out there on the ice as this game was moving along. Good zone time for the Preds. No high danger scoring chances, though. Just 2 more minutes going off the clock in the third period. 8:24, Hartman can't fire a rebound fast enough to get the open net. Anderson able to recover and get over there. Hartman was on his knee trying to spin. It was a very difficult shot attempt to pull off and just not able to get there quickly enough. But good jam by Hartman on this. 9:49, Anderson makes a save on Watson's shot from the low slot. We go all the way to the empty net scenario with 1:58 remaining. Ottawa is able to generate some pressure, but not a whole lot of danger. And the Predators close this game out at 3-1, out shooting the Ottawa Senators 36-26. good home win for the Nashville Predators. Good response after a two-game losing streak where in one game you look flat and frankly the other team wanted it more, and in the next game the other team just had more firepower than you did. This was a good home win. You give up a soft goal in the first minute of the game, would have been easy to have that balloon pop to think, man, we've had a bad couple of games on the road. We're back home. Everything's going to go our way. Oops. Pekkarinen owned it after the game. Pekkarinen has always been willing to step up and own either a soft goal, a bad goal, or a bad performance. You have got to give that guy credit. Good job by the Nashville Predators. Now getting some good news on the injury front. Maybe a couple of bodies coming back into the lineup in the next couple of games. This is all good news. The Nashville Predators have managed to tread water while they've had significant amount of skill and goal scoring out of the lineup. Still in first place in the Central Division. Of course, the entire division has gotten much tighter in the last couple of weeks. But the Nashville Predators have managed to tread water and maintain at the top of the division, and now getting some healthy bodies back in the lineup in the next week is going to be a tremendous boost to this Nashville Predators team. There is no doubt about that. Tonight, the Nashville Predators welcome in the Vancouver Canucks. You only have to think back a week to when the Preds were kind of embarrassed by the Vancouver Canucks in Vancouver. So I expect the Nashville Predators to be very ready to come out tonight and get a fast start and play an exceptional game against the Vancouver Canucks. I think that the Nashville Predators need to beat the Vancouver Canucks tonight. You gave up 2 points to them a week ago. Get these 2 points tonight. Maybe it'll be a nice surprise. Maybe Kyle Turris back in the lineup tonight. I don't think it's tonight, but if David Poile is saying it's this week, then there's only one game left this week, and that's New Jersey on Saturday, so Mastrodamas coming up in the second period. He's going to talk about some individual performances. And, of course, we'll go back and review Pekkarinen's performance in that game against the Ottawa Senators. And we'll take a little bit of more look at the Central Division and just how tight it's getting now that everybody has played 30 games. And I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier, here to get you all fired up right now. Well, you know who it is. It's the Ultimate One.
Finally, Ulti has come back to Prednet Nation. I know it's been a couple of games. I've had some stuff occupying my mind. I've had some worries occupying my mind. Something in the name of, $32 million of talent sitting on the bench in IR. Players keep getting knocked out and knocked down. But then I sit back and I watch, and I realize I need to relax. Well, as much as a masked madman, a hype machine, a train of pain can relax, but I need to relax. This, my friends, is the definition of putting your depth to the test. This is Survivor Series hockey. And there is no team, and I mean no team, that can play Survivor Series style hockey, next man up hockey, with more determination, more power, and come out even better than Nashville. I have got to give credit where credit is due. I have got to give props and tip my mask to the crew in Milwaukee. The baby Preds, the Admirals, are sending up their best, and they are filling in holes and putting in gaps where we need them filled, and they're doing an impeccable job of it. And they're gonna have to keep doing it. Because we've got injuries, we've got sickness, we've got weather changes, we've got players going down for time that we don't even know is coming. And these boys are stepping up. I feel sorry for whoever's next. Vancouver, you're up. It is going to be a hard-fought battle. Because nobody plays Survivor Series hockey like Nashville. And Vancouver, you're not just next. You are just a speed bump when it comes to what's happening with the wrecking ball machine that is the Nashville Predators. So I'm going to tell you what I tell you every single time. Sit in your favorite chair. Grab your favorite snack. Drink your favorite beverage. Sit next to your favorite people. Grab your lucky sweater. Grab your lucky shirt. Me, I'll be grabbing my lucky mask, and I will be watching every single play that this team does, shouting louder and prouder than ever before, making sure that my friends, my neighbors, and my friends' neighbors know where the real passion is, where the real game is. Nashville Predators. Hockey. Smashville. Holla if you hear me. And that, my friends, is the bottom line. Because the Ultimate Predator said so.
this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. The Ultimate Predators got you all fired up. And all you renegades of puck out there, it's game day in Smashville. So from the David Price IMAX Center Studios, you've got Predneck Nation Radio, of course, talking all things Nashville Predators hockey. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonne. Remember, you can always give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can always give us a like on Facebook. And you can always listen to this radio show live at 5 on game days, encore presentations at 6 after the Johnny Ballpark Frank show with, of course, my good friend Jay Hinson. Make sure you check out his podcast, too. Young man doing good things in this business. He is an up-and-comer, so check that out. He's also the one producing the encore presentations in the afternoon. And remember, in an on-demand world, we're available 24/7 through SoundCloud and through iTunes. We make it easy for you to find. Just put Predneck Nation into the search, and you'll find us right there. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey, including previewing tonight's game against the Vancouver Canucks. He is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation and a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight between the Preds and the Canucks. He is, of course, Mostradamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, always good to hear your voice, sir. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding. It is a game day in Smashville, after all, and we get to talk about some good things this morning, as opposed to the last couple of days that we've had a chance to talk. Ryan Ellis brought us back from break, so let's just go ahead and start right there. He picks up a goal the other night, also had 3 shots on net, 25-24 played in time on ice. That wasn't even the leader for the team, but an outstanding game by Ryan Ellis, and a great read on the give-and-go with Roman Josi. When you talk about offensive defensemen, I'd like to see more of that and less of just the bombing away from out high. So Ellis outstanding in this game the other night.
Yeah, that was a beautiful play. I mean, that give and go was just sensational. Johansson starts it off, gets it over to Ellis, and then feeds it over to Josi. Just a one-touch pass. It's one thing to do give and go, but doing a one-touch like that, it's almost like a soccer play where it's just a give and go, one touch real quick, and get it back over to him. And that puck was in the back of the net before Anderson knew what hit him. So, I mean, sensational play by them. And look what happens when you have some motion going on in the offensive zone and you're not just stagnant standing around and looking for that one-timer from the point. So, like what I saw on that play, would like to see a lot more of that down the road.
Ellis absolutely caught everyone off guard because he got below the wingers and he was above the D, so he was right in the middle of a box of 4 players and able to find himself just enough quiet space to unload on that shot. Impressive give and go right there for the Preds again. I'd like to see a lot more of that. Also on the D side of things, a guy we have to talk about, Ekholm the other night, led the team in time on ice, 25-38, also 2:48 in shorthanded time on ice, big minutes out there. 5 shots on net, picks up an assist, Greg, puts the puck on net, and allows the traffic to do its job. But overall, in every facet of the game, I thought Ekholm was outstanding.
He's had to pick up the slack a little bit because he lost his partner, Subban, obviously, for an extended period of time. And he's out there with Dan Hamhuis, who was supposed to be a guy that would, oh, just don't kill us out there. Play your 12 to 13 minutes a night, and you're good. And you have Hamhuis out there playing 20 minutes a night, along with Ekholm. So 2 lefties out there. So they've had to swap out how what side they're playing on as well. And Mattias Ekholm, though, great job by him, too, on that assist, too, with the deflection to Watson. He gets along the boards, and Watson does a great job. At 3 seconds before that, he was along the right half wall. He sends it around, battles along the corners over there, and gets it around to the net and goes right to the slot. And sure enough, there he is, stick on the ice. What happens when you have your stick on the ice when you're in front of the net? Good things happen, perfect deflection in the top corner. Great job by them overall. And again, some nice things coming from the Predators, not the typical goals and where they're coming from. It's having some motion in the offensive zone. They were allowed to cycle things around and get Ottawa's defense, who's been absolutely terrible on the road, get them moving their heads around and trying to figure out what's going on. And by that point, the puck was in the back of the net. So great job by them overall.
Johansson, his assist in this game, he also had 2 shots on net, 4 hits, 1:47 shorthanded time on ice, and 11-5 on faceoffs, which means in the hard areas, he was definitely getting after it in this game. Message received from losing some of his ice time in the previous game. I thought this was a nice bounce back effort for Ryan Johansson.
Man, I said that he better have a bounce back game after the game he played the other night. I mean, unacceptable performance against Calgary. We saw what happened. He ended up centering the 4th line after the second period after just a terrible effort by him overall. So, like what I saw out of him, the assist, he used his body. He did it also on a back check, too. We saw that later on in the game when the team is holding on to a 2-goal lead. He skates all the way from the offensive zone all the way back to his own blue line, to steal the puck away and prevent a possible offensive scoring chance for the Senators. So overall, message received for Johansson, and we see it sometimes. Like I said, if you lose your two wingers, it's kind of be difficult to try to find some chemistry with other guys, but that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be out there giving 110% like he did. So I like that. Hopefully it's a sign of things to come.
Johansson's time on ice restored to what we would consider normal for a first line center, 20 minutes, 18 seconds in this game. He got the message clearly. Craig Smith, Greg, I just keep saying it. Like the way he goes about his business every shift out there, he's working hard. 15:58 time on ice, but very efficient and effective with that time on ice. He's got a goal again, just putting the puck on net and it finds its way through. Sometimes you get that lucky bounce and it goes off the defenseman's leg and into the net. But three shots on net, and I thought that he was impressive as well out there.
Obviously, he used his speed along the boards there, gets around the defenseman. I didn't think he was going to cut it to the front, but neither did Ottawa, obviously, so he cuts it in front. He gets a little bit fortunate with the save, and then it bounces off the defenseman who was trailing him and gets into the back of the net, but that doesn't happen without the effort that he put in there. I mean, it could have very easily been one of those, well, I'm not going to get around this defenseman, I'm just going to whip it around the boards, and we just try to earn a cycle and try to generate something that way. But no, he took it upon himself. And he's a guy, since Arvidsson and since Forsberg have been out of the lineup, he has stepped up. His effort has been unquestionably one of the top out of the entire team. Him and Grimaldi consistently out there just skating their ass off to generate scoring chances in the offensive zone. So love what I've seen out of him. Hopefully he keeps that up because, look, every year we see him 20-plus goals. Would love to see him get maybe even more ice time out there. He played just under 16 minutes. That's usually a borderline third liner over there. I'd love to see him get closer to 18, 19 minutes a night with the way he's been playing out there and get rewarded for his efforts.
I'd also like to see that. I just like him as a hockey player. I like what he does out there and how he goes about his business. Austin Watson, we have to discuss his on-ice performance. One goal in this game, a nice deflection from the slot, going to the hard areas and getting rewarded, keeping the stick down. Three shots on net, four hits. We would expect that from him. 15:19 in time on ice, and again, very effective. Since coming back from his suspension, he's played 13 games, Greg. Six goals already, two assists. That's good for 8 points. Staying out of the box, he only has 8 penalty minutes so far. So Austin Watson doing a hell of a job since coming back in his on-ice performance.
Yeah, just a month back from his suspension, and he's already paid big dividends. I mean, you said 6 goals. You don't expect that from him. I mean, you extrapolate that out over the full 30-some-odd games. He's on pace to have about 13, 14 goals at this point if you've played the whole season. So pull that out for the whole season, you're looking at 25, 30 goals. So some unexpected offense, but he's obviously hungry. He's well-rested. He's done his thing. Hopefully, he's got his off-ice issues solved. But this is an Austin Watson that, you know, let's not forget, the guy's a former first-round draft pick. He has the offensive talent. He's got to put it together. And so far, he's using his size. He's using his physicality out there on the ice. We obviously know how good of a penalty killer he is, and he sacrifices his body on a regular basis to block shots. He's putting pucks in the net at this point, and not just dirty ones. He's going in there at some high-talent plays as well with that deflection like that. So love what I'm seeing out of him. The timing of him coming back couldn't have been any better for the Preds.
Mastrodamas, I saved Pekka for last. We almost always start with his performance, but I wanted to finish up with him tonight. 25 out of 26, one goal against. Look, it was a softie from the circle, 26 seconds into the game. He owned it after the game. He has always throughout his career owned a bad goal or a bad performance and then has been able to rebound. Just discuss Pekka performance the other night and start with that soft one.
It's easy to kind of let one in like that, and then your whole night goes down the toilet. I mean, it was an awful goal to give up, obviously. Bad angle on a backhander going far side. It goes 7 hole on him, kind of over his pad and under his blocker. He gets a piece of it. But if you watch the replay again, it actually hits the shaft of his stick exiting out past him, which is the reason why it redirected itself towards the net as opposed to going wide. He stepped up after that, got a little bit lucky with the post about 2 minutes later. Senators again pressuring the Preds early on the first 5 minutes of this game. Gets the post, gets bailed out there, and then the power play for Ottawa. The save he made on Tkachuk, huge on that play. Who knows how the game ends up if that puck ends up going in. The Preds were dominating the second period. We've seen it a lot. Preds would dominate. Other team gets one scoring chance. The puck's in the back of the net. Suddenly it would have been a tie game, and we don't know how it ends up. But that right pad save on Tkachuk was huge. I think it changed the momentum of the rest of the game around. The Preds had an insurance mark in the third, end up winning the game. But Pekka Rinne very easily could have let that first goal and have it just ruin the rest of the night. But he stepped up big, as well as the Preds' defensively, didn't allow that many high-quality chances again.
Well, several years ago in Pekka-Rinne's career, Greg, we know that first touch of the game was the most critical for him, because if he let up a soft goal like that, it was a bad indicator that there may be two or three more coming before the end of the first period. And we started theorizing that when you saw it, you might as well go ahead and pull them immediately to go ahead and save those, because it was almost that obvious that it was coming. Now, later in his career, he has evolved in several different ways, and this is just another way he has evolved. He has shown a willingness and an ability to come back from a bad goal, a bad game, and it doesn't seem to be an issue, and he owns it each and every time. He's a world-class goaltender, and around the league, I know that they don't really think about Pekka-Rinne that much, but here in Nashville, he may go down as easily one of the greatest athletes to ever play in the city of Nashville.
I saw his win numbers the other night. He has more than double the win total of Thomas Mokoun, if you can believe that. Mokoun was legendary in Nashville in the early stage of the franchise, and he has more than doubled his win total. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what he's done. And like you said, early in his career, we would argue that, like, well, if he doesn't have a whole lot of shots against, he doesn't feel comfortable in net. And if his glove wasn't working early on, you know, chalk that up as a loss. But he has, even under Ben Vanderklok as well, you know, no more Mitch Korn, people thought that his game would suffer. He has just gotten better and better as time has gone on. World-class hockey player, dare I say, Hall of Fame goaltender, Hall of Fame human being as well, from all accounts.
Thank you for mentioning Vanderklok, because that is one of the members of the coaching staff that does not get discussed nearly often enough. He has done an outstanding job. Mitch Korn is one of the most well-known goaltending coaches in the entire NHL, with a great track record. And you're right, when he left, there was a thought that the goaltending for the franchise in general would suffer from that. But Vanderklok has done an outstanding job with this Nashville Predators organization. You see him working with UC Saros as well, and Saros is becoming a better and better goaltender all the time, suffering, of course, his whatever weird November-December slump again, but he'll climb out of that here, and they'll have a back-to-back soon, so he'll get back on the ice. All right, Mastrodamas, let's talk about this Canucks team. It was just a week ago. We spent a lot of time breaking them down, and wouldn't you know it, they caught a Preds bounce after that victory over the Nashville Predators 5-3. Then they went on to beat St. Louis 6-1. They beat Columbus 3-2, and this is the final of a three-game road trip. They've got a chance to sweep that, and for a team that started the season 9-6-1, and then the next month went 2-13. A three-game winning streak, pretty impressive. Definitely a Preds bounce for this Vancouver Canucks team.
Turned it around for sure after that win against the Preds. I mean, you know what? A young team like that, you dominate the Preds like you did. Obviously, the Preds didn't have their best effort, but if you're a young team and you're struggling like that, you beat one of the best teams in the league. It does give you a confidence boost. I mean, we talk about the game being, you know, a lot of it being mental and not physical, and they're proving it right now. We saw with Buffalo, they got a 10-game winning streak, a lot of them by one goal. They just had the confidence, no matter how close the game was, they'd win. And then they lose 5 in a row, 6 in a row, so by similar fashion. So it's a confidence thing. Vancouver playing with a lot of confidence right now. Yeah, you beat St. Louis. Everybody's beating St. Louis. But Columbus, tough team in the Eastern Conference. They beat them as well. So a little bit late-game heroics against Columbus, but that's showing confidence. If they're down 2-1 during that awful 4-week stretch they had, they're probably not winning that game against Columbus. So, dangerous team. I mean, look, Vancouver bad in the standings overall, but the Preds showed the other night against Vancouver a week ago, if you don't bring your effort, Vancouver will use their speed and they will dominate the game on you. So I think the Preds learned the lesson. I think they're going to have a little fire in their belly after that embarrassing performance last week. They're going to take care of business tonight against Vancouver.
For me, this is an easy one. The Preds need to come out and be an angry team tonight. They've got the light at the end of the tunnel as far as some of these injuries are concerned. They're going to start getting some of these bodies back in the lineup. Some of these guys, that means that this is some of their final opportunities to get out there on the ice and prove to this organization exactly where their place is going to be coming up here in the future. So I expect to see some pretty significant jams, some emotion, and perhaps even some real physical work tonight by the Nashville Predators and coming out and getting a good start. They simply have to do that against this Vancouver Canucks team. If not, then you're talking about giving up 4 points to the Vancouver Canucks in a week's time, and they are one of the lesser point total teams in the entire NHL at this point. So Mastrodamas, we'll be talking about it on Saturday. We'll be previewing the Devils and recapping this one, and of course talking all things Preds hockey on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. That's how you can find Mastrodamas. He's always up for the interaction. Just make sure you bring bring it strong. He's always ready to answer your questions, and he's always up for giving you a strong opinion. So again, make sure when you're interacting with Mastradamus, you're bringing him something that he can react to. You can find him on this radio show all season long in the second period. He is, of course, the head goaltender, starting goaltender. Head writer is what he used to be, but we don't have that website anymore. He's the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. He is, of course, Mastradamus, but he's my good friend, so I get to call him Greg. Thank you for the outstanding hockey talk today, my friend.
Charlie, as always, a pleasure. We'll talk to you again on Saturday.
Mastradamus always brings it strong. He's got big opinions. He's got analysis. He's got information. That's what we do here on Predneck Nation Radio, the Renegades of Puck in the Trench. Today, you heard from Mastradamus. The Ultimate Predators got you all fired up, and me, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. We'll talk about the Central Division, and we'll preview a little bit more about the Vancouver Canucks and the Nashville Predators tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Next, right here from the David Price IMAX Center Studios.
Hi, this is Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. From the David Price IMAX Center Studios, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. Welcome in all you Renegades of Puck. Remember, check us out. If you go to PredneckNation.com, it'll redirect to WNSR.com. There, you can get information about me, Mastradamus, the rest of the crew. You can also get the links to all of our social media and how to buy some merchandise. We got great T-shirts. Look good, feel good. My Against All Better Judgment tee is one I go to on a regular basis, kind of becoming my game day tradition. Love the merch we've put together. We got all kinds of different things, so check it out. You know, if you're a Renegade of Puck or you happen to know a Renegade of Puck, it's an excellent place to find a Christmas gift as well. If you're trying to think of that last-minute gift ideas, we've tried to keep the cost well down below the normal market because we want you guys to have the stuff. It's not about making a profit. It's about getting the stuff out there and you guys seeing all that cool stuff. So check it out. PredneckNation.com, WNSR.com. Give us a like, give us a follow, all that good stuff. Here, Victor Arvidsson bringing us back from break right there. Can you believe Victor Arvidsson's only played in 13 games this season because of two different injuries? But he has 8 goals and 5 assists, 13 points. Victor Arvidsson could possibly be back as soon as the 1st of January. That would be the earliest time frame of his injury for return. It was 6 weeks when he went out. And he could be back as soon as that. Philip Forsberg could also be back just about the same date. 4 weeks were the earliest return time for him. And it's possible we could see him as early as the very beginning of January. Kyle Turris ready this week, according to General Manager David Poile. Only 2 games left this week. That would be tonight against Vancouver and Saturday against New Jersey. I think Saturday might be the night because you know Turris wants to get back in the lineup before the Preds head out to Ottawa on Monday. P.K. Subban is ready next week, according to David Poile. That's great news for the Nashville Predators. They've managed to tread water, and what they need more than anything is healthy bodies back in the lineup. I mean, it's an incredible amount of goals that are out of the lineup. It is 3 of your top 6 forwards missing right now and 1 of your top 4 defensemen. Don't forget on the D side, P.K. Subban has been out for quite a while too, and Dan Hamhuis has done a good job. He's had moments where it's been difficult for him out there, but for the most part, stepping up, playing 20 minutes a night, that is not something that anyone expected that Dan Hamhuis was going to be doing when he was signed here to be a number 6, possibly number 7 defenseman and to be a stay-at-home, shutdown, penalty kill type guy. Dan Hamhuis has really stepped up. Forwards haven't had enough step up. Craig Smith has continued to go about his business really good, but he needs a cast around him to help out. He's a great supporting character. Kevin Fiala, we were all hoping he was just going to take off once the calendar flipped to December. He has not. He's been playing with some jam out there, but he certainly hasn't taken off on the offensive side of things. Ryan Ellis has started to put the puck in the net, as we saw the other night with that nice give and go with Roman Josi against the Ottawa Senators. So for the Nashville Predators, getting some healthy bodies back, that is the most critical thing for them right now. They've managed to stay in first place throughout this entire injury ordeal. Look, every team goes through injuries, but it seems to have hit the Preds really hard here in the second half of November and the early part of December. The Preds have played 31 games on the season. They are 20-10-1. That's good for 41 points. Now they are 1 point ahead of the Winnipeg Jets, and this is a weird scheduling thing. The Nashville Predators and Winnipeg Jets, I feel like they just haven't played at all. I know that they did play earlier in the season, but they won't play again until the 17th of January when Winnipeg comes here to Nashville. We know Winnipeg's going to be there the entire way this season, just like last season. Winnipeg's one great hockey team. They may have started out just a little bit slower than some expected, but they're still right there in the thick of the chase for first place in the Central Division. The Colorado Avalanche, after last year's first round series against the Nashville Predators, it was a six-game series win for the Preds, but it wasn't an easy six-game series. It was a tough out, and the Colorado Avalanche, with some of the best individual young talent in the NHL, it's probably going to take home some hardware this season. They're third place in the Central Division. 31 games played, 17-9-5. Again, 39 points. That's only 2 points behind the Nashville Predators. Same number of games played as the Preds, and they will be here in Nashville on the 21st. Of January. That's the next time the Colorado Avalanche and the Preds will play. So the Colorado Avalanche have been a team on the rise for the last couple of seasons, last year getting into the playoffs, and now they are a significant challenger to the Central Division. The Dallas Stars, a lot of people's preseason favorite to pick. They are in fourth place in the Central Division after 31 games played, 16-12-3. They have 35 points. That is 6 points behind the Nashville Predators. And the Preds will not see the Dallas Stars again until February the 2nd. But then again, turn around and play them on February the 7th. That is a home and home. Minnesota, also a home and home series and not going to happen until March the 3rd and March the 5th. Minnesota is 1 point behind Dallas after 30 games played, 16-12-2. And of course, you know, St. Louis and Chicago are bringing up the bottom of the division. They are going to fight it out all season long for the cellar. Both have made coaching changes. I do not believe either of them are going to make any kind of significant run here come the second half of the season. As a matter of fact, I believe any assets that are available on these two teams are probably going to start to be moved. I would definitely, no matter who's team I was the GM for, would be calling the St. Louis Blues and asking what the price is on Tarasenko. I would imagine it's going to be pretty high because there are going to be a multitude of clubs out there trying to get Tarasenko away from the St. Louis Blues. He is one of the most dynamic scorers in the NHL in this generation, and he doesn't get nearly the discussion nor the credit that he deserves. That's a bad St. Louis Blues hockey team. Vladimir Tarasenko is a good hockey player, though. Nashville Predators definitely need to make that phone call. They don't have the assets in the farm system. They don't have the draft picks necessarily. And I don't know if the St. Louis Blues are going to be looking to shift one of the most dynamic goal scorers in division to Nashville. But that call has to be made. No matter who you're the GM for, you've got to make that call. Another player I'd be calling is the New York Rangers. I'd be calling about Matt Zuccarello. Is Matt Zuccarello available as the New York Rangers are continuing to rebuild? That is a player with some jam. Don't underestimate that guy because he's little. He goes out there and gives it each and every shift. Yeah, everybody wants a Wayne Simmons-type big body strong winger. But Matt Zuccarello, that's a guy who gets it done out there, and he gets it done in tight spaces with high skill. Just a couple of players out there around the league that I think the Nashville Predators would benefit from adding and making this team even deeper. But any trade or any player out there the Nashville Predators would be looking to target to bolster their roster and make this Central Division race a little bit easier on them, it's going to be tough. There just simply aren't a lot of prospects in the system right now that a lot of other clubs are just beating down the door to try to get. When you trade away a Seth Jones, when you trade away a Sam Girard, these are good young defensemen that have left the organization in the last couple of years to bolster what the Nashville Predators really needed, which was centers. So now I have to rebuild the prospect core. We have a couple of players that are up here right now. Tolvanen, he is a big part of the future. There may be some clubs interested in perhaps him. So the Nashville Predators are going to have to make some hard decisions. They're definitely a team that can compete and win the Central Division. They should be able to compete on a championship level. Of course, a Stanley Cup final appearance 2 years ago, falling to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then Western Conference second round exit in Game 7 to the Winnipeg Jets last year. I believe the Nashville Predators have every ability to compete for the Stanley Cup this year, but they may need to go out there and bolster this roster just a little bit more and pick up one or two more pieces. Injuries, it is good news that some of these players are coming back in. it's great news that some of these players come back in. That's going to be a real lift for the Nashville Predators. Now, two more games on this homestand. Tonight, Vancouver, Saturday, New Jersey. These two teams near the bottom of their divisions, respectively. The Nashville Predators have opportunities to seize the next 4 points, take them, then get some healthy bodies before going out there on the road to Ottawa, Chicago, Philly, Boston, and all those other places as we head into Christmas and the New Year break. And then we'll start to talk about when Arvidsson and Forsberg are officially back into the lineup. This Nashville Predators team is about to get healthy. They've managed to tread water. They've managed to survive. Has it been easy? Hell no. It's been tough to watch at times. And as a matter of fact, that road trip, when you stayed up late watching the Preds lose back-to-back in Vancouver and Calgary, I know a lot of you got incredibly frustrated. It's okay. There's going to be moments like that throughout the season, but you got to have a clear head and you got to have a clear mind come the next day once you get the frustrations out of your system. This Nashville Predators team has every opportunity once they get these bodies back in the lineup to maybe add a piece or two and make a serious run at a Stanley Cup championship this year. With the way Pekka-Rinne is playing, Vezina Trophy winner last year, significantly top of the league numbers this year. The Predators have every opportunity to be there. Just got to get some bodies back in the lineup. Got to get back to playing Predators hockey, and they'll do that tonight. Central Division, just real quick, couple other games on the schedule tonight. Florida's in Minnesota. We'll want to track that one. Edmonton is at Winnipeg, and Dallas is in San Jose. So a couple of games there to keep your eye on the scoreboard tonight as the Nashville Predators are getting wrapped up against the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, the Preds lost to the Canucks just last week, 5-3 in Vancouver. Their only trip of the season to Vancouver. They'll play one more time before the end of the year here in Nashville, all the way on April 4th. By that point in time, hopefully those points are irrelevant, and the Nashville Predators have already clinched the Central Division, already know who they're playing in the playoffs, and everything is nice and settled. That is a long way from now, though, everybody. We got to deal with Vancouver tonight, got to deal with New Jersey on Saturday, close out this homestand. After beating the Ottawa Senators, Preds have picked up 2 out of a possible 2 points on this homestand. At the end of this week, I'd like to see them pick up 6 out of a possible 6 after that road trip. That would be a nice bounce. This Vancouver Canucks, let's not forget, they're coming in here on a Preds bounce. 3 games in a row, well, they have won. They beat the Preds, the Blues, and the Blue Jackets. Markstrom with all 3 victories. Vancouver Canucks, after having one of the worst months you can possibly have, are definitely heating up and feeling it right now. Young lineup, full of high-end skill and talent. You've got to go ahead and shut those guys down. You got to get up on them, and they will collapse once you do that. Mostradamus was in the second period. The Ultimate Predator got you all fired up. Me, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. So from the David Price IMAX Center Studios, you've been listening to Predneck Nation Radio. Thank you so much to all you renegades of puck. If you've got the fire, if you've got the passion, if you love the sport of hockey and you love talking about it, you just might be a renegade of puck. So remember, you can join us live at 5 on game days, encore presentations at 6, and you can always check us out in an on-demand world 24/7 on SoundCloud and iTunes. Just search for Predneck Nation. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We'll be back Saturday morning live at 5 right here on Nashville Sports Radio.